What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We got some breaking news here on 5 on It. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This from Elise Medeker, Cubs roster moves. This blows up my pre-show meeting discussion. Javier Saad has been optioned.
So Javier Saad, the guy we were told was coming to save the Cubs rotation, is indeed not coming to save the Cubs rotation?
I'm just not realizing that that the man I hope would save me is not going to save me. So I'm going to collect myself. Luke Little has been recalled. Oh. Sam Bernero, our friend, the clubhouse reporter, took a picture and posted it earlier, so I retweeted it. So that she had the proof, and Sam Bernero always delivers, yes?
So Assad pitched yesterday, correct?
Yes.
If I'm Craig Counsell, I'm like, oh, I need some arms for this long-ass series I got here. Did he just option him just to bring him back later?
Probably.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so, but also, like, given the status of Javier Assad with the team, I didn't think he was one of those guys that you were going to shuffle, per se. And then additionally, Gavin Hallowell is added as the 27th man for the doubleheader that we're getting you ready for here in just about 40 minutes on The Score.
You want to get even more ready? How about a lineup?
Let's
going
go.
Up against Freddy Peralta, 14-5 with a 2.90 ERA. Freddy Peralta.
Freddy
with
Peralta is good.
Yes,
yeah.
He's very good.
He's good.
All right, so some interesting things here. Michael Busch will lead off and play first base. Kyle Tucker is in right field and batting second. Seiya Suzuki, he will DH and play third. Pete Crow Armstrong is in center field. He will bat cleanup. Carson Kelly will bat fifth and catch. Owen Casey is your left fielder today.
He's alive.
He's batting sixth.
He got out of Canada, did he?
Nico Horner will bat seventh and play shortstop. And Willie Castro will bat eighth and play second base.
Oh.
Matt Shaw will hold down the ninth spot. And he will man the hot corner third base.
Hey, so, I have some news about Matt Shaw as we take up all the 5 on in here.
Okay. Yeah.
You know how I refresh his Baseball Savant page quite a bit?
Yes.
The bat speed qualifies now.
Nice.
Let's go.
So Horner's off today? Is
no,
that right?
Horner's playing shortstop.
Oh, he's playing shortstop.
Dansby.
I didn't start listening until the second baseman.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I got you. I got you. I figured as much.
Play
number
this.
One.
There we go.
All right, it's a big 5 on it on a Monday with Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody. And here is question number one. On a scale of 1 to 10 bears, how many bears does Mark Grody give that Bears game last night?
Wow.
Mark Grody,
I have
bears.
To be careful
bears.
Here. I've been put in a territory that I am not used to giving out bears for a preseason game. This is a tough place that you guys have put me on the spot here for 38-0 last night. The first team offense and Caleb Williams looked great. You had two quarterbacks look good last night. What an embarrassment of riches. When was the last time that any of us said not only one quarterback looked good, the Bears had two quarterbacks that looked good? That's a 7-bear game right there. That is 7 bears.
I have a question.
I didn't even mention the Austin Booker sack or the Amen Ogbogbamiga forced fumble.
Woo!
Ian Wheeler had 2 touchdowns. 7 bears.
If this same occurrence with the same stats occurred in a regular season game,
oh, I'd be overwhelmed.
How many bears would that get?
I might have to go into the Holy Land, and that is a
8-3.
Well, we've decided. What did we decide before? Because we're making up rules on my bear scale now.
14 is as high as you can go.
We can go bonus points, and that leads us to Leo the 14th, the Pope. So everything that happens after 10 is pretty much godly. It is of the Lord. So, yeah, I'm not ready to... if this was the first game of the season, 38
to nothing. If they did this against Minnesota on Monday night,
let's wait till it happens, and then I will give out the Bears. But yeah,
that's fair.
Are you guys comfortable with my two Bears? I'm sorry, my seven Bears.
I would say, did we get degraded from seven to two?
Tyler Scott was making plays last night.
But you know what? The way the game started with Tyler Scott, I wasn't sure if plays were going to get made.
That was a 92-yard drive.
Bold choice.
I was like,
did we sign Bayless again?
What was he doing?
Well, kickoff rules, you would have to pick that up, right? I don't think that would have been a touchback because he touched it before it got to the end zone.
Right.
Yeah,
correct.
That whole judgment process was flawed to start the game.
There was some moments last night.
On to the next.
Yeah.
I feel like
seven Bears.
At least, yeah.
At least. Oh, you'd go higher. You could take the over on my Bears.
Because like I said, any Bears game, real, imagined, or almost real, that has 528 yards of total offense.
Yes.
I don't care. I need that to be a thing.
That doesn't go out of style. And yes, Layla, when October comes and you have your 10-year Chicago anniversary, you did earn an extra bear with me today.
Number two. Yeah.
That would be me. Bears? Besides Caleb Williams, which player were you most impressed by in Sunday's preseason win over the Bills?
Okay, I think that the most important thing is it's basically asking the question, outside of QB1, who's our most important bear, because let's face it, he is, who becomes most important bear number two? Is it wrong to kind of piggyback off of what you said, Mark, and say that it may actually be QB2? Tyson Bagent had a great game. Like, when you look at how he was able to pick up after where the Bears left off, start the third series, and then go from there. He not only ran, I think, some offensive concepts you wanted to see, like was more focused on the run game too, as we saw, but there were some specific plays where I'm going, how are they going to how are they going to game plan for what he does with his arm strength and his speed? You saw him show off his speed, his crossbit shape, if you will, with some of the rollouts, some of the misdirections. He timed it well. He really worked hard, and you need QB2 to be healthy and serviceable because, you know, not always the case that you're going to expect 17 games out of your quarterback in a regular season.
For me, it's Luther Braden III, and here's why. I don't know how much playing time, how much run he's going to get. I don't know if Ben Johnson's going to draw some stuff up with whether it's 11 personnel or you just want to go four wide on the people. I don't know how he's going to get into the game because Olamide Zaccheaus has been very good. But I do know this. Rarely does a team get through a whole season with people not getting hurt. So I love their depth now in the playmaker department when you're Ben Johnson. And I think while I didn't agree with him being drafted where he was because they had other needs, in my opinion, now at least you got some depth in the receiver room. I'm good with that.
To be different, I'm going to say the couple of these running backs, man. I know that we're not expecting Ian Wheeler or Britton Brown to be a big part of consequential things this season, but to see Ian Wheeler, who, as you probably remember, had that devastating injury, which is documented on HBO Hard Knocks last night, he had 19 carries for 80 yards and two touchdowns. Britton Brown had 16 carries for 73 yards, so it was nice to see the running game working and complementing the passing game.
Number three.
What should the Bears be willing to give up in a trade for Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson?
Whew. You have to start this, Marshall. You're the one who wanted him the most.
So here's my deal. If you're looking around and people are asking for a first round pick and a second round pick for Trey Hendrickson, I'm good with that. A first and a second. If it's anything more than that, no, can't do it.
Khalil Mack fetched two first round picks.
How old was Khalil Mack when he got traded?
26.
Yeah.
This guy's 30. So,
yeah.
But when you consider the effect on the game, Trey Hendrickson has the same type of effect on a game.
Yeah.
But for how long and knowing how much you're going to have to pay him, I think there's two things that are true here. You have to take advantage of a rookie quarterback's rookie contract. He's in there right now, that window. This is when you would go extreme and do something like this. But are the Bears ready yet? And the question becomes, if they're not ready, would this make them ready to contend? You guys keep telling me how good this defense is going to be without Trey Hendrickson. So I'm just wondering, would he take them over the top in a manner you would need if you're going to pay somebody that much money to be another defensive end with Dio and also Montez Sweat on the roster?
Can I introduce a nightmare scenario?
Yes.
To you?
Yes.
I like that. As I rub my hands together evilly, because you know what I'm thinking as I say these draft picks out loud, you start to put it together. I'm like, you know, the first round picks for the Bears are still probably higher than, I don't know, other teams who need defensive line help, pass rush help, you know, teams who maybe are projected to have better records in the regular season.
I don't think I like the Colts in the mix.
And then I thought about a team who could still probably use some help on their defensive line and would be willing to make that type of move because they don't necessarily need the draft capital like other teams. And then do you know who I realized it was? And it would be hell on earth if there were two of them.
Jason Peters. He's coming back to the Bears.
I love him. He is my head coach. And I'm pretty sure he's... Wait, isn't he on staff with Seattle now?
Is he? I mean, he's literally, 42 now?
I love him. I adore that man. No, Detroit! What if he goes to Detroit?
Yeah, what
Wouldn't
if?
He make that move?
Yeah, what if?
Oh, hey, Robbie.
Because they're like, yeah, these first round picks are nothing to us. We have a zillion wins.
I like the way you think.
That's what scares me. Is what if he comes to the NFC North?
No.
I'm just acknowledging that it can happen.
Well, a team that has been like rumored the most too, as well, is the Packers. The Packers have been a name that I've seen floated around as well.
Oh God, that's even worse. Well, that the Packers were.
Is
the
it
ones...
even worse? Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson, and Trey Hendrickson. Okay. Are you kidding me?
Okay. I just remember
if
when
they're bookends. That's a problem.
That is horrifying.
It's a problem.
I think it was the Packers that were scared the Bears into making the deal for Khalil Mack, because the Packers want a little piece of that action too. And then Khalil Mack's first ever game at Green Bay at Lambeau, and it was probably might have been his best game with the Chicago Bears.
That's not great.
His first. By the way, if we're doing like a little accessories to the questions here right now, do you guys, and we're talking trades here, do you guys agree with the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, that if there was another team around, like if you're a team around the NFL and you're watching Tyson Bagent, you would definitely give up a first round pick to get Tyson Bagent. Will a first round pick come back to the Bears, as Chuck Swirsky believes?
Wow.
For Tyson Bagent.
Do the Bugs Bunny meme in real life, I would just go, no.
No.
No. And Layla?
If you can, here's how I'll say it. If you can get a first round pick for Tyson Bagent,
bye-bye Tyson.
You make it happen.
Oh God, yeah.
Because as I've said before, Tyson Bagent has gotten a lot of people jobs.
Yes.
The Raiders hired Luke Getsy because of Tyson Bagent. So when you consider that, keep the ball rolling.
Hey man, grind your absolute face off for the Bears or for a first round pick.
Make somebody make a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. If that turns into draft capital for you, rock and roll.
Bro, why are you talking about my love life right now?
Yeah.
Or tattoos or anything.
You're bedridden. You should be getting that sympathy vote right now.
I've gotten some sympathy texts.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa!
Any sympathy? Whoa! Wait, sympathy visits?
Hold on.
We're running out of time.
Sympathy
we got two
visits?
More questions.
No. Question number four. Marshall, what is that text?
Have you received a sympathy visit, and have you ever received a sympathy visit, and what went on during the sympathy visit?
Of course, the answer to the first question is no.
I can't
the second
put
question
earmuffs
is
on.
Yes. And I can't disclose on public airwaves.
I don't need to hear this. He's been my close friend for 10 years.
Poor Layla.
Ew.
Yeah. Go ahead with the real question, please.
I did advocate for him having a hot girl summer.
Hey, man. Yeah, if you want to talk about all these babes and a hot girl summer, then you got to answer
you
our
said
questions.
Babes, not me.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, man. You want to talk about all the lovely ladies in your life, then we are gonna ask you direct questions.
Hey, you can't blow up people's spot like
Let's
that.
Let's go, Robbie.
We are broadcast. We're literally broadcasting.
Don't you know my job here, Layla? You know I'm the instigator.
See,
you
now
know
we're
this.
Gone off the rails.
You know this.
Let's put the train back
on Marshall's
the tracks.
Marshall's pissed off now. Yeah, can we get back to that?
I really want to get these two questions.
How about them Cubs, Robbie?
How about them Cubs?
Get back to the Bears here. Layla, do you guys want me to take it through the locker room a little bit longer?
Go.
Layla Rahimi. Marshall Harris. Mark Grody is here.
All right. This is what I say. Cubs.
Cubs, yes. What do you think of Owen Caissley only getting one at-bat in the Cubs series win over the Pirates? Let's start with what Craig Counsell had to say on why Caissley was rarely in the lineup.
In Toronto, it's stated very clearly, like, a, you know,
we've got a pretty good group of outfielders here, and so there's Owen's got to cross that bar, and you know, I think these guys are, we're going to play the best guys every day. Owen will get a chance to play tomorrow. Owen will be involved tomorrow. And this is why, you know, we wrestled with calling him up, you know, at times, because they're just because of the group of outfielders we have.
Now that we know what Craig has said, what do you think about Owen Casey barely playing over the Pirates weekend?
Okay, here's my issue is, number one, I do think that it sent the right message to the clubhouse. Because if you want to take this seriously and you understand that your team needs a shot in the arm morale-wise, you call up your big gun. And if you thought he was so precious that you couldn't trade him, then you better make a move to show something with strength. And I think that's what happened here when they decided to call up Owen Casey, so I liked it. I was concerned, though, when the Pirates are an opponent where I feel like you should be able to play him. And frankly, unfortunately for you, your outfielders are not producing enough offensively, which means somebody has to sit. So in this case, we see Owen Casey playing in left field today, and that makes me a little more calm about the situation, because if you're going to give him the opportunity, then go ahead. It's better now than it is in September.
I was okay with him not playing extended time in the Pirates series as long as they won the series. So they won the series, so I'm like, all right, but he does need to get some run. And of course, doubleheader, this is the perfect opportunity for him to get some run. So let's see exactly how they use him over the next 4 days before we jump to any conclusions. Casey is a guy who is unproven at the major league level. Guys are slumping, though, so this is the perfect time to work him in.
Yeah, look, hey, I do understand that managers know their players better than anybody. We have to assume that good managers know how to put their players in a position to succeed. I always give the example of Joe Maddon understanding what Albert Almora Jr. was when everybody was like, play this guy every day, and then eventually he was exposed. So I give that little bit of a preface to what I'm going to say here. If Owen Casey is coming up and you're giving a message, as Layla said, to your locker room, here we go, here's our prized possession that's going to help us win the pennant. He comes up, hits the ball hard 3 out of 4 times in his first game, looks good, going opposite field, showed no fear, and then you don't play him again for the next couple of days? Like, I did not understand that, especially when what you have right now has not been working. And even though the Cubs won this series, and they did, they had to grind their absolute faces off to win these games by 2 runs on Saturday, by 1 run yesterday. I bet that could have been stimulated a little bit with Owen Casey in the lineup.
They still had problems with hit production. There's no doubt about that. We have more coming up. We'll get you ready for that upcoming Cubs game that we mentioned. So let's do that next. You're listening to Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Raheemy and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Asad just wanting to keep him stretched out and ready for depth at Triple A.
Yeah, we're just going to keep trying to get available pitchers for, you know, available pitchers. And, yeah, I mean, Javi, he'll be back.
All right, that's the news from Craig Counsell as the Cubs use an option on Javier Assad, sending him down. We got that news earlier. This is Raheem Ian Harris on 670 The Score. We get you ready for Cubs baseball, which is coming up next. And also, please listen to our partner, Matt Spiegel, who is singing the national anthem. We are thrilled for Matt. It's a big honor, and that is happening before the game. So you'll want to make sure you hear that as well. And we talked about the moves that were made earlier. We mentioned them on 5 on It to start. As we get news about this 5-game series that is just absolutely massive when you consider the Brewers and the lead that they have coming into this. They mercifully lost yesterday. The win streak finally ended at 14. And now the Cubs have a chance to catch them at their lowest point in, what, 3.5 weeks?
Boy, they're really
really down, aren't they?
All you need to know is the last team to defeat the Brewers before the Reds lost yesterday was the Cubs. That's all you really need to know. That sums it up, does it not? And those teams have had very varied fates since that last meeting in which the Cubs were able to put up a 10 spot on them?
Go on the crew?
Yeah, 10
that
10
seems
three.
Like a million years.
Yeah, like I can't even comprehend what you just said.
Moises
yeah.
Ballesteros game.
The
Oppo double.
Yes,
yeah.
that's the last time the Brewers had lost before yesterday's game. Now, here's what I want to tell you guys. The Cubs, yes, they've struggled. The Brewers are not invincible. They are not some team of destiny.
What?
I watched a lot of what happened against the week.
What do you call getting Andrew Vaughn and winning 14 games in a row?
They are a movie, man. This is a movie. This is
Andrew Vaughn's a difference maker.
The Reds had
this is Moneyball 2, kind
of. The Reds had them to rights in two of those three games that they did not win, and the Reds just imploded. That wasn't. Yeah, the Brewers took advantage of the implosions, but they look like a very beatable team against the Reds, is my point. They won two out of three, in large part because Cincinnati looked awful when it mattered.
The Cubs picked up a game on the Brewers thanks to that turn of events. They are now 8 games back of Milwaukee. But I also think it's important to remember that we talk about the Pirates series with a sigh of relief, as we mentioned, and it wasn't easy. You know, they eked out a series win against Pittsburgh. And in doing so, we also saw what was considered on Saturday a good game for Kyle Tucker. 2 hits for him, which we hadn't seen as consistently. He hadn't had a hit in a game since prior to that, the 10th of the month against St. Louis. So we know that his struggles offensively still continue, even though it's nice to see him get on base and do what he can. Here's what Jed Hoyer had to say on with Mully and Haw this morning, talking about the management of their outfielder.
I mean, everything is sort of speculative. You never know. You never know whether it's a combination of everything, whether it's one thing. You know, I do think that, he hurt his finger sliding. Yep. I don't remember exactly what day it was, but, towards the end of May, early June. And I think when he did that, I think that he had this hurt finger. I think he, probably changed the mechanics a little bit as he was, fighting through it. And I think that probably is a big part of it. I mean, he is a little bit different mechanically than he was at the beginning of the year, and that's what he's working hard to get back to. So, who knows? I mean, I think clearly, he's struggling. You can see it in his face and his body language, how much it's bothering him that he's struggling. He's such a natural hitter. For a guy like that to go through an extended stretch like this is, I'm sure it's one of the first times in his life he's probably gone through this, and it's hard. And obviously it's a big year for him, and he wants to help the team. So I see a guy that, he's sort of exasperated right now. I understand it. And I know he'll get through it. He's too great a player not to, but certainly it is. It's been hard to watch him struggle because I know how much he wants to be hitting and be helping the team.
When we tried to figure out how the Cubs were managing this, we hear from the guy who is the one in charge. And it sounds like even with him, it's a touch and go situation.
The explanation there by Jed Hoyer explaining, well, he's not where he was mechanically. Obviously, he was trying to overcompensate once he hurt the finger. Okay, at some point, shouldn't they have shut him down based on what he just said? Shouldn't they have just said 10-day IL? You don't have to go on the IL for 15 days anymore. 10 days, a week and a half. Bring up Owen Casey. Bring up Mo Baller. Whoever. Say Suzuki could play right. You could shift it around. Whatever you want to do. But shouldn't they have addressed this in the long run situation as opposed to we're just trying to keep pace in the slow run? Clearly, it's gone too far.
Marshall, this is further proof that nobody knows how to handle this Kyle Tucker situation. When I say that, I'm talking about media. I'm talking about fans. I'm talking about Cubs management because of who he is. It's Kyle Dan Tucker. We saw Kyle Tucker do amazing stuff in his first couple of months with the Cubs. We're talking about a
he probably still is a $500 million player eventually. So nobody knows. Do you sit him down? Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? Does he want to sit down? Is he going to be pissed off if we sit him down? Like, nobody. Like, starting with Jed Hoyer and listening to Craig Counsell. Like, it's very measured when they talk about it, but nobody truly knows what the right answer to do is with your one of your most important players on the team, period.
Well, and on a more stacked team offensively, and on a team that perhaps isn't as reflective of his successes, when I consider Seiya Suzuki's numbers, for example,
yeah,
on a team that isn't perhaps dependent on them as much, you're not talking about him as much. Yeah, that's it. You have other players who have that kind of, nobody's going to have that kind of hitting pedigree, like, en masse, except for last year's Yankees, you know, with Soto and Judge. But
yeah,
in this case, you usually have a lineup that can take the slump a little bit more, that can withstand the blow.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're not seeing that. Yesterday's game was a great example. You're still having to eke out offense. You know, you had to bring a runner across who got on base thanks to an error. You know, you had to advance a guy thanks to an error. You had to take advantage of a bad team giving you extra outs to win. You won, but still.
PCA laying down a bunt. I mean, there's many different examples of, okay, we really got to figure out how we can manufacture a run as opposed to just letting our guys hit their way out of it. And I think that's the biggest thing right now with Kyle Tucker. They're clearly letting him try to hit his way out of it. It is not working.
Let me ask this question, though. Here's where I get conflicted. Who does not still think that Kyle Tucker is a great player and the best hitter on the Chicago Cubs? Because I still think that's who he is. And that's where the complications come in.
If he's healthy.
Well, nobody really knows.
He's not healthy.
I heard what Jed Hoyer was saying right there, but it's always just sort of like, we think this is what it is. I think he kind of hurt his hand. He kind of had to change. What is it?
I'm not saying send him to Arizona via, you know, like what the White Sox did with a rookie. That's not what I'm asking you to do here. I'm just saying, if at any point you realize his mechanics were off and you're like, all right, let's see if you can work out it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of days, clearly you need to go to IL, get rested, get right.
But he even didn't know what to do because he played in the All-Star game.
Correct. So whatever it was could not have felt that bad.
Right.
I think it's good enough that he can get singles, but it's not good enough where he can hit doubles and home runs. Right, I think that's the bottom line.
But do other pitchers still look at him and say, I'm going to pitch him a certain way,
no,
and will still affect the guy batting before him and the guy batting after him?
And based on the proof we've seen, no. You know, that's the other part of this. Tune in tomorrow, by the way. We want to let you know. From 10 to 2, it is a special edition of Spiegel & Holmes from Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigleyville. That's right. It's a show swap. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes will be joined by Nico Horner for the 12 p.m. hour at the Cubs On Deck Luncheon. Our show is going to be live from 2 to 6 for your afternoon drive home. Cubs On Deck is powered by Verizon, the most reliable 5G in Chicago. Visit your local Verizon store today. I think the most concerning part of it is you know what the Brewers are capable of. You've seen it and you've experienced it for the past 2 months at a wicked pace. So knowing that, you host them for 5 games now. In theory, if you're the team you thought you were, it could help not only bolster your season, but stop a free fall and then get you the momentum you need to make a real playoff run or try your damn hardest. You've called up your biggest bat, the one who is the most prized out of your farm system. You've done all the things. So in theory, what's ahead of you is an incredible opportunity. But unfortunately, you're going to have to go after a Leviathan of a team to do so.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit, but obviously, Freddy Peralta. Don't forget about Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta's always there, and he's always good, and he's 14-5, and he has a 2.90 ERA. I can't wait to see what Cade Horton does coming off his best start, probably, as a big leaguer. With that 3.07 ERA, could Cade Horton's ERA dip to 3 or under 3? It's pretty interesting the direction that he's been going. And do we have any concerns right now about Daniel Palencia giving up the home run on Friday? And then, you know, I know that there were reasons for it, but Kittredge getting the save in the game yesterday.
Well, wasn't he sick? Didn't they say he was under the weather?
Oh,
so Palencia
sick?
Was under the weather, and then before the game, Elise Miniger said he was feeling better, but still not 100%.
Well, that's then we why should be worried about him then.
Well, listen, here's what I'll say about your boy. Freddie Peralta that you just ran through his great number.
Yeah.
That Mo Baller, that happened against him. Last time he saw the Cubs is the last time he lost too.
I love it.
Gave up 5 runs in 4 innings.
And are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Yes, Grody, do you want to summarize?
In conclusion, Cubs shall win the game today.
Which one?
Oh, that's right. This one.
Not both?
This one coming up here. I'm totally focused on game one.
Game two, they'll win both.
I don't know that I'm okay with you making any more declarative statements about Cubs baseball.
The Cubs are winning 4 out of 5. You heard it here first.
I'm abused left and right.
At least 4 out of 5.
We got some confident men taking you into the broadcast of Cubs baseball. Thank you to Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz as well. Thank you to everybody who listened to this one. We have Cubs baseball coming up next. Listen to Matt Spiegel sing the anthem on The Score.
Brewers aren't scary.
What?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.